And right now it's time to say a very good morning to Unetsi, where we talk nutrition. Unetsi, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Wayne.
And Unetsi, thanks for joining us. And today talking about healthy cooking methods. You know, you've got all the food and the healthy food. Now you need to cook it in a healthy way. Obviously, there are right ways and wrong ways.
Yes. So, when it comes to cooking, I think sometimes people are under the impression that it needs to have tasty food. It generally, sometimes tasty equals fat and calories. And it's so I sometimes think people put it in a box like that. We can actually, by using the correct cooking methods and being a little bit creative with fresh things, we can actually create wonderful, tasty food. So I thought when we look at cooking methods, and generally if you read about healthy cooking methods, people will say you have to bake it, you have to boil it, you have to steam it, you have to grill it. You can brown on open fire, but when we look, deep frying is not generally an option. So number one, we don't want to heat any oil, because obviously there's negative things when it comes to heating our oil, and that's also why we want the healthy cooking methods.
Right.
So I just thought, if we look at baking and we look at what can I really bake when it comes to food, what comes to mind is if we think about a veggie bake. So generally, if you put things like your onions, your peppers, mushrooms, these vegetables will give you some moisture, and then you can obviously add anything into it. For instance, butternut or carrots or sweet potatoes, and you can basically bake that in an oven on 180 degrees. And when we look at spices, we are allowed to, if we talk about healthy cooking, really, when it comes to herbs, salt, pepper, mustard, maybe some chili, garlic, all of these things we classify as acceptable and healthy. And then just a tip. So if you look at your fresh herbs, the sticky ones, that's more harder, so for instance, rosemary and thyme, they will, we call them the roasting herbs. So they go very well into like a baking in the oven option, because they are hardy, the leaves are a little bit more oily, so it can give good flavor when you're baking. And then when we look at the softer, greener ones, for instance, you can even go, the oregano can also be like a baking one, but then maybe your basil, your coriander, your parsley, all the green ones, we would rather chop in and add in the end. We wouldn't necessarily roast with the soft, greeny ones. So that's sort of bake. And then obviously when it comes to meats, if we look at bake, not really bake, but maybe more like a grill option. So if we look at your oven, if we talk about baking, generally the majority of ovens has got a setting where you can have a fan, and you can maybe have a normal element at the top and a normal element at the bottom. And 180 degrees baking will give you a pretty good dish in the end. Then when it comes to meats, we might consider rather using the grill. In other words, if you look at your oven, you would want to put the grill option on, and we more look like a 180 to a 190, maybe even a 200, especially if it's like red meat. If we think about lamb, especially lambs, it would be nice to basically grill at that point. And also fishes, and maybe even chicken. If you have fish with lemon and some herbs and spices, you can put your oven on 100, and well, I would actually go as high as 200 with a top grill, and then you actually have to watch it. It's like toasty at the top, and you can see that it's your fish. You have to watch, unfortunately, but maybe 5 minutes, 7 minutes, and it will be done with lemon juice and herbs, and you'll have a healthy, fat-free option for fish. And the same with a chicken breast. Maybe you can use a meat hammer to tenderize it a little bit. Also things like marinades. generally marinades are quite safe to buy as they are low in fat, and they're generally a combination of vinegar, spices and herbs to flavor your food. Maybe then soak some of your chicken breast in some of the herbs, I mean in some of the marinades, and then you can put some salt and black pepper and you can roast it in the oven. And that way we can cook meat without really have to pan fry it or deep fry it or fry it in oil.
Right.
We can use a healthy way.
And talking, you know, you mentioned the oven and, you know, extensive use of the oven. Now, over the years, if you look at all the different, and I'll use the term loosely, cooking fads, the oven has kind of stood the test of time. But, you know, yes. At one stage, there was a grill, and I think it was named after a boxer, George Foreman. He marketed this fancy grill, and this was supposed to have been the healthiest thing and the healthiest way to cook and all that. And then a couple of years later, in fact, just a few years ago, the air fryer became the best way to cook. I suppose they all have their places depending on what you're cooking and how you want to cook it.
They definitely. So if we look at that grill, that the George Foreman grill, a very nice gadget when it for meat. If I'm thinking anything, it can be a chop, a steak, a sausage, a piece of a chicken. So the technique was that there's enough the grills the you know that those little almost like alleys that was part of the grill, and then it went at an angle downwards, so there was enough space that all the fat will be away from your meat. So the fat that cooks out won't be in a contact with the meat that you are preparing, and it moves away. So a very, very effective way of grilling a piece of steak or chicken breast. I don't know if maybe if an oily type of fish like a salmon would go really well. And then I must be honest, the air fryer is a very, very good way of preparing your food. I think what makes the air fryer very effective is it heats up instantly.
Yes.
So you don't have to wait 20 minutes to get to an oven temperature of 180. So if you've got a society on a stick, or you have got something like a chop, or very, very effective way, because within 10, 15 minutes, you've got meat that tastes like a braai option. So, yeah, a really, really good way of, and even things like if people buy things like your roast, the frozen potatoes or sweet potatoes that you would buy in the frozen section of the shop, very effective way to prepare those without adding fat. So you can actually get away without having to add any fat onto your food when you have an air fryer. So a very, very good way of preparing food, yes.
And I suppose, you know, what you mentioned there as well was that in an air fryer scenario, your little oven, if I can use that term, is hot virtually instantly. Whereas you've got two pieces of meat that you want to bake, and you've got to wait 10, 15 minutes where this, you know, for the oven to actually get to 200 degrees, when electricity costs what it does, and if it is even available when you want to use it, you've got to obviously use it sparingly and as efficiently as possible.
Definitely. So within 20 minutes, you can basically have a well-prepared piece of protein, saving electricity, saving you time. So even the moms that think about, they don't have time for cooking, if you've got some of those sausages that you buy pre-packed in the marinade, it literally takes you 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or if you want to make a piece of sausage, or if you want to make a piece of chop, especially your fatty meats, if you add spices and lemon juice and you prepare it in the air fryer, obviously all the fat moves away to the bottom of the basket. And it's a good, easy way of preparing fatty meats like that as well.
Right. So it has its pros. And, you know, so it's probably, if you had to do an exercise, it's probably not a fad. It's something that's adapting to our way of life and in energy constraints, et cetera, et cetera.
Definitely. And if even if you have leftover food, for instance, of last night's meat or potato wedges or any type of roast vegetables, an easy way and a safe way for kids actually to reheat their food. It takes them 5 minutes. It's, I think, a child of 10 years old will be able to do pretty much anything if you give them guidance, and it's quite safe. So a really, really good option.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
If we look up, I just thought about boiling vegetables. Maybe if you like to boil vegetables, obviously steam is a good option. You can either do it in a microwave if you've got a steamer, or you can do it over a pot with water. But boiling vegetables generally are quite a good idea. Uh-huh. So just some tips if you think about vegetables that grow underground, carrots, turnips, parsnips, beetroot, sweet potato, potatoes. These vegetables are advisable to start them in cold water. Okay. So if you are going to boil them, you start them in cold water so that the heat distribute evenly from outside to inside. Okay. Otherwise, if you start them in hot water, the outside will be mushy and the inside will be hard. So that's sort of how you do those ones. And then preferably, if we look at the green veggies, you want to cook them in rolling boiling water. So you'll bring a pot of water to a rolling boil, mm-hmm. and then you'll add your green beans, cauliflower, broccoli, baby marrow, patty pans, snap peas, asparagus, all of those things. Obviously, you can do it in the amount of time that you would like. Some people like the vegetables crispy, some people like them soft, so time-wise. But give or take, green beans, maybe 5 to 7 minutes, and for the rest, 3 to 5 minutes, and they'll be colorful, they'll be crispy, they'll still have their good flavor in them. Don't boil them dead, but they go like brown and ugly, because otherwise nobody would want to eat them. And so that's sort of what we can do with those vegetables. And then, as I said previously, things like lemon juice, vinegar, all your herbs, whether it's Italian herbs or mixed herbs, spices, mustard, pepper, chili, if you like chili, you can add these things to make your food flavorful. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have boring food.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, it doesn't have to be boring to be healthy. You can use your imagination and do all kinds of clever things. Now, Anetsi, also just touching on snacks. Healthy snacks.
Okay, so with snacking, obviously we want, if we think about snacks, they generally fit into between breakfast and lunch and between lunch and supper. So that's sort of where we put our snack options. If you are really a very active person, we can even make it a small snack before bed. But generally the average person out there, like 10, 11 in the morning, 3, 4 in the afternoon. And so when we look at fruits, obviously any fresh fruit is a good option. We normally look at, if we think about the portion size, snacking and portions are quite important, because we can have a snack, but it mustn't be as big that it can substitute a meal. Mm-hmm. So fruit, we generally look at the tennis ball size, when an apple, a pear, an archie, a tennis ball size, give or take 150 gram. If you are not somebody that likes to eat fresh fruit, but you like to drink fruit juice, mm-hmm. you can substitute 125 mils of juice for a fruit, because that will equal the same amount in calories.
Okay.
For berries, it's more or less a cup. And then the smaller fruits, apricots, you can have about 3. Small plums, you can also have about 3. And then unfortunately for the grape lovers out there, you have to count them. You can't eat a punnet. So we generally say 10 to 12 grapes will make a portion of fruit portion for grapes.
Right.
So that's when it comes to grapes. Then dried fruit, also a good option if fresh fruit is not readily available and you've got maybe a mixed bucket of dried fruits in the cupboard. We would advise 4 apple rings, 2 peach halves or 2 pear halves, 3 of those prunes. You can have 6 apricot halves, and then or maybe some of those dried fruit sticks without the sugar. Mm-hmm. Also quite good options for a fruit snack, especially if you've got a sweet tooth and you want to stay away from maybe sweets. Dried fruit is quite a good option.
Mm-hmm. And just getting back to the wine, do you have any conversion tables from individual grapes to the glass conversion? You know, how many
grapes go into a glass?
Into a glass.
A portion of wine? I actually don't know. That's a good question. So maybe something. Well, if I think about 150 mils of wine equals, give or take, 500 kilojoules. Okay. So if we have to work 500 kilojoules back to grapes, it would probably be about 12, maybe 17 to 20. I don't know, but that's just a thumbs up. But that's calorie wise.
Right.
What does it mean?
Okay, so, but that's obviously for after dinner.
Well, that's a nice thing to read up for sure. That can be your after dinner snack.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to dried crackers, things like your whole grainy ones, pravitas, rye vitas, maybe rice cakes, corn cakes. And if you want to add something onto it, that's not really a lot of energy. If you are a lover of something like a bovril or a marmite or we don't get to have fish paste anymore, but that would have been a negligible amount of energy that you could put on there.
Okay.
So for pravitas, it would be 3. Rye vitas 2, rice cakes 2, and corn cakes 2. Mm-hmm. And if you are a popcorn lover, advisable to make it yourself in the microwave. But then 1.5 cup of popcorn will be equal to something like 3 pravita biscuits in calories.
Okay.
And then you can maybe add a little bit of salt on there if you really want to. If salt is not an issue in your life, it won't do any harm.
Okay.
And then dairy lovers, generally things like those small 100 mils of yogurt, half a dairy stumpy, or then maybe some smooth cottage cheese where you can dip some of your free vegetables in, for instance, cucumber, your colored peppers, maybe some tomatoes. All of those are really good, healthy snacks that will curb that hunger, the hunger that you've got in that moment, and that will carry you to the next meal.
To the next meal. And that's so, you know, snacking in between is acceptable as long as you kind of do it correctly.
Yes, and then generally we want to rather drink water or maybe black teas or herbal teas. Absolutely fine to maybe drink if you're not a water lover, but you like teas, you can have black teas without sugar. And while you can drink a lot of that, there's generally a lot of antioxidants in various teas. So not a bad thing to drink during the day.
Okay. Oh, well, that sounds like there's lots and lots of options there. And some really great advice this morning. And if somebody needs to get hold of you, if they want to get hold of you to maybe make use of your services as a nutritionist, how do they get in touch?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989. Or they can find me on Instagram at Unetzi.
Great. And, of course, this chat will be on our website later today. So you can download it. If you missed any of the tips, you can just download it off www.wildcoastradio.co.za. Unetzi, thank you very much. Have a great week.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Cheerio then. Take care. Cheerio. Bye.